How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized.
Michelle, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today, not only to talk about your organizational journey, but we definitely are going to dive into the fact that you are a teacher. You're going to call me out on some of the things I've been saying to teachers, give teachers some more encouragement, and go forward from there. But can you start out by telling me, how did you find Organize 365?
You know, it has been long enough that I'm not sure my story is exactly clear. I know it was a summer. I know I was going online looking for organizational ideas and coming up with all kinds of different things. I know at one point I had your app.
And that yes.
App that like took you to your podcast and all that. It's a little fuzzy, but I absolutely know I found you online by searching.
Yes. So we did have an app. We didn't have it for very long. And maybe we'll come back with another one. So yeah, people are like, yeah, whatever happened to that app? It does not exist right now. So don't go searching on a rabbit trail.
No, but I ended up obviously following you on the podcast more than anything. So that was the key.
Yes. Okay. So tell us about your household and who lives with you.
You know, it is just me. It is all my own mess. Currently it is all my own stuff. And it's still amazing how messy that can get because I think you're absolutely right. We don't live perfect lives and it's important to know that just because you're single doesn't mean your house is perfect all the time because I don't live up to that standard.
Yeah. And I love that you bring that up as well, because I'm trying to do math on my team. I know there are at least two team members that live on their own. Like one lives with their mother and one lives on their own with their dog, like that are not married. And we have multiple team members who do not have children. So sometimes people will say, is Organize 365 only for people who are married or only for people who have children? And I'm like, no, pretty much, you know, 18 to 84, doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm here really to talk to women, any women. So that's great as well. So why did you decide to start getting organized? Were you like starting getting organized before you found me, or like what was your real thing about wanting to get started getting organized?
You know, I think I've known for quite some time that being organized was important. And I'm pretty sure when I went and found you online, it was a summer and that was kind of my goal to actually get more organized.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a lot of things, you know, that it's important to get done because you feel good when it's finished. You feel like your life's a little more in control. And I know that I really wanted to save some time and energy during the school year, and I wanted to take care of some things during the summer and make that a little easier.
Okay, so let's talk about your teaching. What grade do you teach and what grades have you taught?
So I teach high school students. I teach history and economics, and it varies depending on the semester what I teach, but usually by the time we're around a spring semester, I'm teaching an AP class and about three different preps, and you know, I love what I do, but I'm not going to lie, sometimes it gets a little crazy.
And how long have you been teaching?
They actually gave me my 25-year certificate from the school I'm at. I have been doing
it
for a quarter of a century, and I'm still loving it.
Okay. And do you feel like you're organized at school?
I think when I get stressed, I'm not as organized.
Okay.
And when I'm in a fairly good place, I actually am quite organized. And I think that is something that I've realized how important it is. And as I've done it more and more years, it's become more and more important to me to get organized. And it really, really helps and goes a long ways to allow you to do the important things.
And do you notice, like, so you've listened to the podcast for a long time, so you know the 3 years that I talk about, summer, fall, spring. Do you notice there are also cycles inside of your teaching that are organized and disorganized, and like there is predictable that you're going to be overwhelmed in this month or at the end of this quarter?
Yeah, completely, totally. And I know it's different for every teacher. I know our elementary school teachers get stressed at different times. I know that, you know, depending on what you teach might matter. Things get really crazy for us, or me in particular, at the end of January, because we switch semesters. So I end up with new students, and they become really crazy in April. Actually, April and May are kind of my busy times because of what I teach and preparing for an AP test. We have a lot of reviews outside of the school year, and I help work some of the track meets and stuff. So I pretty much can guarantee that come April, it's just hang on and do the best you can do.
Okay. So now here's where you're going to call me out and give me a little bit of tough love. So some teachers have been coming up to me and saying, Lisa, you know, it's the school year and you say we can only get organized in the summer. And I do. And you started in the summer, and I will often counsel teachers to start in the summer. That's when I, as a teacher, always focused on my home, got as much organized as I could during the summer so I could run the race during the school year. And what do you want to say to the audience?
Well, I will be perfectly honest. I really hit it pretty hard in the summer and not so much the rest of the school year. My first round that I actually did was in the summer, and I do tend to not do little chunks at a time. I tend to do the big, you know, let's do 4 hours worth, which is great for the summer. You do get a little, shall we say, decision fatigue when you do it that way, particularly if it's your hot mess room and you're really making big decisions. That doesn't mean I never do anything during the school year. I just, I tend to go for things that are bugging me. So, you know, if the pantry becomes out of control, then I sit down and I do the pantry. But I'm not necessarily always working the program or, you know, I look at the email, I'm like, oh, they're doing the pantry this
week. How cute. So fun of them to be doing that. I'm going to go grade papers. Yeah. Okay. So you kind of agree with me then.
Yeah. I for me, that's what works. I do think if you were doing truly the 15 minutes a day, maybe that would be fine for the school year. Maybe it would be a nice little break. It would be a nice little, I'm going to get out of my teacher head for 15 minutes and I'm going to do something just for me. Maybe for some people, it's part of their self-care. But for me, I tend to like to, you know, dig in and really get a bunch of things done at once and like to chunk things. So, for me, I tend to only kind of go where things are really bothering me. And I'm like most teachers. I think you end up with a summer list that is ridiculous and will never, ever, ever happen. But you keep making a little progress, and every year you come out of the summer thinking, I got that done, and it feels really good.
Yeah, I think what I notice for myself and what I notice in other teachers just in general is like exactly what you said. We put on the list on the summer, the whole 100-day program and the hot mess room and the paper. And yeah. And then, you know, July comes and we're like, I'm going to the beach. Like, just like done. So, but what I think is a Yes. What I think is a realistic goal, especially for teachers or anybody who works a big corporate job, the difference between teachers and corporate, what I think is true is corporate is 9 to 5 year round. So you kind of create a workflow and a home life balance that works for you. teaching, yes, you absolutely get, you know, the summer off and you get the holidays off. But when you are in session, it is not 40 hours a week. I mean, it is a 60 to 70 hour. I mean, it's a huge time commitment. And also it's a constant mental commitment because you are thinking about all the students in your class and who's not doing well and why aren't they doing well and how can you help them do better and how can you partner with their parents and what's going on in the school district. And there's just, it is all consuming. It is just all consuming.
I have to agree. And I know there are other jobs like teaching where it's mental and physical and emotional, but it really hits the trifecta. You are physically, emotionally, and, you know, intellectually kind of exhausted by the job. And it's partly probably why we do it, because, you know, we love the challenge.
Gluttons for punishment, aren't we? We're like, So you get to the last day of school and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so great. I just have to go. And the whole month, whatever you're off, we're usually off like right after Memorial Day. So the whole month of June, you're like, this is it. I'm going to take all this energy and put it in my house. And then you kind of step back sometime in July and go, I need to step away from everything. Like I need to go to the pool. I need to read a novel that has nothing to do with intellectual capacity. I need to, I don't know, go walk with my friends, you know, play with my dog. And then all of a sudden, like towards the end of, for me, it was always toward the last week of July. I was like, oh, I gotta get ready. Like the kids are coming back. And it would be like 3 to 4 weeks before they went back and all my energy was back and I couldn't wait to get back into the schoolroom. So really, it's only like 4 weeks of the summer where you focus on yourself and your house.
Well, and you know, it depends on what time you are in your career too. I mean, when you've been in it for 25 years, I mean, I still do, you know, programs where I fly out somewhere and learn something for a week or whatever. Right. But, you know, early on in your career too, there's so many other directions you're being pulled and you're asked to be doing training. So I think sometimes even teachers might not really have that summer off and, you know, they got to give themselves a little grace, as you would tell them.
Yeah, yeah. So I think a realistic starting place would be your first time through the program, just focus on the kitchen, master bedroom, you know, that first 42 days. Get through the kitchen, which we do in 3 weeks, get through your master closet, your master bathroom, and your master bedroom, because that is where you're going to spend 80% of your time during the school year. You could even start that now and just focus on only those 42 days until next summer. And then maintaining those, like that is, and it will, just those small areas will really save you so much time and give you so much bandwidth when you're at home and make home feel so much more peaceful. Now, they can't see you, but you're shaking.
I'm shaking my head. Big time.
Yeah. When you can come home from work and walk into your kitchen that is clean and organized, and it is, you know, the foods that are available for you are seasonally appropriate and on the wellness plan that you're on right now, not what you bought years ago. And you go upstairs and the clothes in your closet fit and you like them and they're seasonally appropriate. And you have the makeup that you want in your bathroom and not 1,800 samples of things you might try one day. It just, like you were saying, decision fatigue, like it erases a lot of that decision fatigue in your closet, in your bathroom, in your kitchen, and gives you more energy then for school and for yourself to maybe read one book per year during the school year. You may only read 3 pages a day before you fall asleep, but at least, you know, just give yourself a little bit more bandwidth.
Yeah. And I find too, to give yourself permission to, put things where you want to put them, even if it's not where the Pinterest perfect house would be. And again, this is partly because I live alone, but my purse hangs on a chair at my kitchen table. And it doesn't matter that it's not near the door or, you know, it's maybe not put away for most people. It works for me. My purse is sitting there at the kitchen table all the time. That's where it goes. And, you know, I think you just have to find what works for you.
Absolutely. So once you get those first spaces done in your house, what I noticed as a teacher, not like when I was going to go through the program, like I do the 100-day program now, but when I was a teacher, the second space I wanted to do after the kitchen and my master bedroom areas was the storage room or the garage. And the reason why is because I would get so frustrated going into the storage room, not being able to find what I needed, or pulling into the garage. And the first thing I would do when I pulled into the garage every night was see all of the undone things. So I would often take a weekend, or, you know, when you have a 4-day weekend or over winter break, I would take winter break every single year was when I would do my storage room. And sometime in the fall and sometime in the spring, I would always do my garage because that garage was so overwhelming to pull into. And that storage room was so frustrating every time I went down there. Like the living spaces not being organized didn't bother me as much as those storage areas.
You know, it's funny that you say that. The garage was something I kept fairly organized always. I think maybe living in Wisconsin where the winters are pretty incredible, I always have been able to pull my car. That's kind of like a must. And for me too, I don't, you know, part of it is I don't have many cars in the garage. I just have one. So it's my storage shed as well. It's where everything goes, you know, the lawnmower and all that kind of stuff goes. So that was never an issue, but I did find that it started to bother me a little more that my basement had many of my family members' stuff. At the time I moved in, everybody else was a lot more in flux, so I ended up with many other family members' things. And one summer, I just kind of made it a point of saying, I love you guys, but maybe it's time that at least the stress in my basement is my own. And we either need to sell it, or you need to take it, or we need to, you know, find it a better home. And I couldn't believe how well I felt after doing that. I think it was really bothering me a lot more than I thought. And again, I was more than glad to do it. And I'm not complaining that I had everyone's stuff. But when it was time to ask other people to decide what we were going to do with the antique sewing machine and all that kind of stuff, it was really nice to get those decisions made.
Yeah, and I'll complete honesty. We have a 2-car garage, and I am the only one that parks in it. I think the kids were like less than 2 years old, and Greg just voluntarily started parking in the driveway. And I was like, "You can pull in." He's like, "There's so much stuff in here. Like, it's not an oversized garage, so it perfectly fits 2 cars." And he just decided to do that, and then that created like an indoor play area. We're in Cincinnati, Ohio, so if it was like above 40 degrees, the kids would literally play in the garage in the winter as like almost like an outside play. And now we have lawnmower and all that as well. So yes, we don't have our garage organized enough that 2 cars fit in there. It's just too squishy. So yeah, Greg voluntarily parks in the driveway.
Good man.
He's such a good man. Okay, so back to the original list of questions
we had. All right.
I felt like we had to go on that little teacher rabbit trail. So when was the first time you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
Probably for me, one source of great frustration was my Tupperware or Pyrex
area. Oh, yes.
I don't know how many different times I tried to organize, and then, you know, the lids I always kind of put underneath and all that. I don't know. The first time, I guess that I went through and I took some of your ideas and I put them in, and I don't know that it looks all that different, but it feels awesome. It's like, I can just take a peek where those lids are, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't have to match them up perfectly, but I can always find what I need. And, you know, my kitchen is not built with organization in mind, so some things are so tiny, you can't really put anything in. And that area was so huge, you get lost everything in the back. And
yes,
I just kind of realized, that function. Like, so what if there's nothing in the back? It doesn't matter as long as you can see what
So what did you, what did you decide? Did you go to Pyrex? Is there a certain brand of plasticware that you chose? What do you have now in there?
You know, I do have different kinds of Pyrex. Some are circles, some are squares, but I think I have a Lazy Susan in there for all my little stuff. And I have some kitchen clear organizers that have all the lids, and they might not even all be on the same level, but I can see all the lids. And so I can just grab whatever size I need for whatever I'm using, and it's perfect.
Yes, this last summer we got rid of all of our plasticware and we only have Pyrex now. It was an investment, but Greg was totally on board. He loves it and I love it because it's so much easier to clean. And, you know, I think glass is maybe healthier than some of the plastics that are out there. And I was buying the cheapest plastic available. So definitely versus what I was buying. And I love it. And we have found that it was an investment, but we don't have that many pieces. Like I got the circular set of four. I got two sets of those. So that's actually eight pieces. And then we have rectangles. We have two of the 8x6 rectangles. Okay. And then one smaller one than that. And then a regular 9x13 and then an 8x8. So I guess that sounds like a lot, but not compared to the amount of Tupperware I had. I mean, I had enough Tupperware that we could have Tupperwared everything in this house twice over. Like we were never going to use. And by Tupperware, I mean just anything plastic with a lid.
Well, and you do need enough for your leftovers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You need a few things to have frozen stuff in your freezer and all that. And and I found too, a bonus is, you know, when friends come over and they, bring you something, it's not in the Pyrex usually. So you know actually what has to be returned to other people. That's not a bad thing either. Throw it in the car and you know who it belongs to and they get their stuff back.
It's probably phase of life, right? So you're a single woman and do you take your lunch to school?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So you have what you need for that.
Yeah. And frankly, I think I'm probably like many teachers. We're pretty quick eaters. We don't have a lot of time for lunch. I don't know how people could do hot lunch at school or go out to lunch or whatever. I just don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. But in our family, you know, when the kids were little, I had a lot of plasticware because I would take snacks when we were taking the kids somewhere, or I would feed them out of that plasticware, or we would have leftovers. And our family does not eat leftovers very often. Greg is really the only one that will eat leftovers, and we don't pack lunches. So we just don't even have that need for plasticware because my kids are 18, 19, and, you know, Greg and I don't pack lunches. So it was easy to get rid of that at this phase of life.
Well, even if you guys were packing lunch, you know, when you become a certain age, you don't worry about dropping them and breaking them. It's a little heavier, but yeah, I figure it's just part of my workout to carry a little bit more into the school building every day.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll bring the plasticware back when we have grandchildren, which I talk about so often. Joey and Abby are like, why do you keep talking about the grandchildren? I just like babies. I don't really need grandchildren, but someday. Okay, so what has happened since you started on this journey of organization that you did not expect to happen? And we should mention, you've been in the 100-day program 7 times. So you just went through your third summer
of
the program. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean, again, we've already kind of covered this. It doesn't mean I've actually done it completely every single time. But, I think one thing that really surprised me was, goal setting. Like, I think once some of that got organized, and maybe partly because it was one of my goals and I kind of accomplished that, but I also think it just freed up some mind space. And I know too, your 100-day program with your calendar and stuff, you know, part of it is kind of a goal setting. What, you know, are you thinking 5 years out? Are you think? And I've always done that, but I do think I've gotten so much better. And I think part of it's just having some quiet in my head. I think it allows you to do that a little easier.
Yeah. Because, 25 years went by like that, didn't it, in teaching?
Oh, it did.
Yeah. And it's so, just to even think 5 years from now, you're like, oh, that's so far away. But before you know it, it'll be here.
No, I'm already thinking 5 to 10 years out and what that might look like and how it's going to look the same and how it's going to look different. And I think I've always kind of been that way. Partly it's been one of those, because I'm single, am I doing what I still want to do? Because no one else comes into this part of the decision. I mean, if if this is not what I want, I need to be making that change in my life. So
yeah, just not living on autopilot, like living proactively through choice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, so did you experience any unexpected things in the last 3 years of you as you've been going through all of this?
Well, of course. yeah, where to start? I think too, I've occasionally, people have said, well, you're single, so nothing unexpected comes up. You don't have your spouse's emergency and your kid's emergency, but I've had plenty of my own and things have turned out fine, but I had my own medical issues and there was a time where we were looking at my heart and I've had, a family member who left on vacation and went out state and ended up in the hospital. And, I still got my friends and family that, crazy things are happening to them. And, school is always one of those things that, I'm dealing with over 100 people every day that I care about, and there's always something happening.
Yeah. Has dealing with any of those unexpected things been easier as you've gotten more organized?
Yeah. There's one thing to say that this is absolutely what has to get done and the rest of it can wait. And when you get to an organized place, that becomes much more difficult. And, the Sunday basket is very helpful for that too, because these five things need to be opened and looked at, or this bill needs to be paid, but that's the only thing I need to take care of, and you know right where it is.
Yeah, again, like you said earlier, just gives you a little bit of quiet in your brain and just the bandwidth to say, okay, well, I normally would do the whole thing, but this week I'm just going to do this piece, but I know I'm on top of everything else that's in there. I agree, of course. So what do you have more of and what do you have less of now that you've been doing this for a while?
Oh, I do have a lot more freedom and time. Decluttering and organizing and having systems in place is very freeing. And, it does allow you to get into some routines, but it also just feels like a load is kind of lifted when you have what you love around you and not all the extras. And it just means less stress in your life, which I think everyone's looking for.
Yeah, who doesn't want those things? Like, I would like more time and less stress, please. So what do you wish you had known sooner?
I know this is not part of your 100 days, but one thing I found forever frustrating was what to do with all the manuals and as a homeowner, it's like what, information do I need to keep in that filing cabinet? And I'm a teacher. I have way too much paper already in my life, and it seems to be forever coming into my home. Like, even some grading is still paper and all that. I really wish I would have worked on ditching that filing cabinet. So I think I spent a lot of hours, time, and energy trying to organize things that I didn't need and didn't need to keep. And that's some stuff that I really wish I probably would have figured out a little sooner.
Yeah. I mean, I totally hear what you're saying, but if you think back 25 years ago when you started teaching and you started creating all those filing cabinets, I mean, that is how we did it then. So it's almost like the solution wasn't ready then.
Yeah, that's true. And in the teaching world, I had binders and binders. Yes. People would come to me for binders. And I still have some things in binders. I still have some activities that, they're hands-on and can never be digitized. But that is one place where I have digitized, and usually the computer helps you find things, but every now and then they change those computer programs and your search doesn't work as well. But yeah.
I'm not as good at search. Like, so our team keeps everything in Dropbox, and you can search inside of your whole entire Dropbox. And I'm like a search fail. Like, I search by opening every single file, and then I also search the words, and I try the other words, and then I just end up giving up and emailing the team and being like, where is this? And then they show it to me. It's like my husband going in the refrigerator. I'm like, it's on the middle shelf. He's like, no, it's not there. It's on the middle. So I walk over. I'm like, on the middle. See? It's like that with my team. They're like, see, it's in this folder, Lisa, like all the other ones. And I'm like, I don't know. I just, my brain does not think digital.
I'm really happy that I have some folders, because again, I think sometimes they change how you can search, and things that, you know, you could find last time, you can't find now. And I'm glad I do have some things on Evernote, and it's allowed me to throw away some things that I don't know that I'll ever look at, but it's kind of given me permission to do it. But I totally have kind of backtracked a little bit on everything digital. I'm allergic to dust, so I don't want a lot of paper and a lot of clutter, but there is something about having certain things at your fingertips. And even if you don't know where it is in the binder, it doesn't take super long to go through one binder if you know that it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think is, you know, I have a photographic memory, which is why I love jigsaw puzzles. So I know where things are in the binder because I have the binder memorized, because that's just how I think. And when I get to the computer, I'm like, I don't even know where to start looking, because there's not that three-dimensional thing that I can memorize like there is in real life. So, I mean, whichever one works for you, obviously, clearly mine is paper.
Well, the cool thing about paper, and you know, I have this conversation very recently with students. We're kind of kicking off our school year here. And again, I don't think there's one answer for everybody. And for many students, depending on how they process, their iPads and taking notes on the iPad is the way to go, and they can find it and all that. But for many people, and some of, I think the brain research is supporting this, that physically moving your hand and your fingers and actually writing on things can really be helpful. And I find I might be able to compose on the computer, but I have to edit on paper. And I've just gotten to the point where it's like, I've listened to you, and I will print things off, even if I know it's only going to be around for a day and it's going to be shredded. It's like sometimes it is just worth having the piece of paper.
Yeah, it is scientifically proven. You are 7 times more likely to remember things you write with your hand than things you type. 7 times. So if you're studying for a test, writing all that out really does help. And the interesting thing, this is hilarious. My editor for the book, The Paper Solution, that's coming out August 4th of 2020, she wasn't getting it back to me for edits. And finally she was like, Lisa, I finally figured out what didn't work. She goes, I never have to do this, but I literally had to print out your entire manuscript in order to edit it. And I was like, if that is not the best thing, that your editor has to print out your book on paper organization in order to get her head around it. And then she's like, and then it just flowed so quickly. So yeah, sometimes we're so resistant to printing or doing things because we feel like, well, it's a waste of paper, or that's going backwards. Well, recycle the paper, and then it's not a waste of paper. Like, you can
I have to pay for this copy.
Right. You're paying in time and mental energy anyway. So yeah, I just thought when she said that, I was like, oh, that is classic.
That is classic. That's so your point.
yes. Oh yeah. They're like, oh, when you come up to talk about PR, could we all go over this Sunday basket, please? I was like, yes, we can. So they want a little workshop when I come up. So I was like, of course. So what's your next step now, Michelle? What's next?
Well, I'm still like everybody else. It's never fully done. You know, I still have a hot mess room in my basement. So, you know, people need to know that it's not like my organization journey is totally done. But I have also taken the leap, and I've become a professional organizer, and I've become certified in the Sunday basket, and I'm working on my paper certification. So I don't want it to replace what I'm doing. I had a colleague who said, well, how can you, you know, start your own business? And he finally said, I suppose it's kind of like coaching. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like having a coaching job on the side. I still get to do what I love. I still get to help people and teach people. I just get to teach adults in a different skill. So I'm loving that.
Well, it's such a natural progress. I mean, you're a teacher. So it's just adult students instead of high school students, and it's teaching things in your house versus teaching things for an AP test or to get into college. It's like life learning. Yeah, you're perfectly positioned for that.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing about organization that, I'm not saying you can't see it in your students' faces when the light bulb goes on, but there's something about seeing what you've actually physically done that is very satisfying.
Yeah, I used to, I don't cut the grass, and I tell Greg that women don't know how to cut the grass. It's not a feminist thing, you guys, don't even. But there was a time when the kids were younger where I said, I'm going to cut the grass, and I did. I went out and I cut the grass one time. I don't think he remembers. Don't remind him. And I had him do the dishes and vacuum the house because my kids were so little that by the time I was done with the dishes, there were more dishes. But when I saw him go cut the grass, like for the next 2 or 3 days, you could see the lines. Like you, right. It still looked cut. I knew it only lasted a couple of days, but I just wanted something that was going to last longer than 30 minutes. So I cut the grass.
You see your hard work visually. There's something really cool about that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I always like doing the storage room in the middle of that chaotic Christmas time in our family. Was I would literally go down there and put on a tape player, or I would even play movies down there in my storage room on a portable.
I love that idea.
We had it in the car for the kids, and I would take it down there. I'd be like, you watch the kids, or they would go to bed. And I would go down there for hours and just be in that quiet space, listening to my favorite movies, and just trying to maintain order, any order that would last longer than 30 minutes with those little kids. Oh my goodness gracious.
Totally.
All right, so let's close out, Michelle. What advice would you give someone that is just starting out?
I think that people need to understand that as hard as it is to say, I'm gonna put in hours up front, you know, whether it be you're going to spend time to organize your email and you're going to take the hours it is to set it up differently or whatever, that's hard, I think, for a lot of us to do, to realize that I'm going to spend 2 hours right now and have nothing to show for it this moment, but it's going to save me 2 minutes every day.
Yeah.
Forever. And yes. that upfront effort sometimes I think is hard for us to, you know, make the time to do, but it is makes life so much easier in the long run. And I guess that's part of what organization is all about, is you spend a lot of time right now, immediately, more so than you would if you just let things continue the way that you're doing them. But, it pays off so big in the long run. So yeah. You have to put that time and energy in now to get it back later, but it is so helpful.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. It has been such a pleasure to talk to you. I know all the teachers are like, yes, she interviewed a teacher.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I knew these Wednesday podcasts would be great. I just had no idea how they would be great. And I think that the best part about the Wednesday podcast is really getting to hear the stories of the women who are organizing their houses in different parts of the country, with different family makeups, with different professions and ways they spend their time in different phases of their life. So I know so many who are teachers and or are single will take a lot of nuggets out of this conversation that they're like, oh yeah, that'll work for me. So thank you.
Yeah, we're more alike than different, and I know everyone's story is slightly different, but when you talk about your spaces and when you look at our lives, particularly in America, there's just going to be all kinds of things we have in common. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Michelle.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.